Hello, creators, and welcome to The Money in XXX, the podcast for creators by creators. You can check us out for all of your digital marketing needs if you're looking for a course to help learn how to use fan sites, and we specialize in helping your sales funnel to get people from those social media sites to your paying fan sites. So you can check us out at minxdigital, minxxxdigital.com. I'm your host, Stella Sky, and today I am joined with, once again, Miss Mallory Switch. Hello, Miss Mallory.
Hi.
Good to have you back on the show. Yeah. We're looking at XBiz Miami coming up, and I saw that you were going to be at XBiz Miami. So I'm excited to see you there. And for those who might not know, how would you describe XBiz Miami? Because it's a little different from the other conventions.
It's definitely not as overwhelming, I would say. I mean, it's overwhelming in a sense that it's super exciting, but since it's only talent, you go and everyone's so accepting and loving. And I remember showing up at the registration line just so nervous, and like, I was sweating because it's Florida and I have some makeup on and I have sunscreen on and the sunscreen's getting in my eyes. So I'm already like crying my makeup off, but everyone around me is like, I get it. And everyone's so friendly, and you really find your little home there, I guess.
Yeah. I went to XBiz LA for the first time, and I really enjoyed the aspect of like, I could kind of like let down my guard and just be around my fellow creators. Like, I was not worried about how I looked, you know, every time I stepped out to go to whatever seminar I was going to that day. So yeah, it's nice to be able to connect with the other creators on a much more personal level and not have to worry necessarily about like, I'm on stage in the same way, you know, it's not the same performance. Well, awesome. Well, that will be exciting. Yeah. Are you looking forward to anything in particular? Are you going to like the white party or doing bikini competition or anything like that?
Not the competition. I mean, like, as much as we put ourselves out there, I'm a very shy individual. So
I know, but I was, like, I'm very excited.
The white party for sure. Neon party. I have a whole collab planned with a few girls, and then another collab planned that's like kind of a surprise right now. So we're going to do like a whole little virtual collab and then IRL collab. It's very fun. So,
well, if you don't mind, that is something I wanted to talk about as well, because you do something that I think more solo creators or creators who don't want to go and collaborate with, let's be real, other dudes and have to do that. They're like, I'm just happy with my fellow girlies, right? And maybe they don't even want to do like girl sex, but there are ways to get creative with your fellow creators where you can do a team jerk off instructions or something like that. So what are some other options that people might not know about that people can still collaborate without having to fuck each other?
Exactly. So there's a lot of non-fluid swap available options, and especially with the virtual collabs, because I've done things with people in Canada or someone in Florida, and it's more technical, I'd say. It's not so much improv, because when you are side by side, like Clara D and I did a doctor jerk off instruction in Vegas, and that was very fun. But we kind of riffed off of each other. And so just side by side, like POV stuff, very easy. And honestly, it sells like hotcakes. So you don't need the girl stuff. And then with the virtual collab, it's definitely more planning out. Like, I'm going to do this scene, you do this scene. And I did something with Harley Sin where it's like, I'm on the bed getting fucked and she's in the corner masturbating. But the way we like edited it, like I had her film it first. And so I can kind of like, I have her in my ear, like I hide my earphone. So like, I know what she's saying, and then I can film and edit it, so it's more cinematic for sure.
Yeah,
but it's very fun.
You do a great job with all of your like scenery as far as like getting all these different shots. I think that's what really sets you apart when I see your previews on ManyVids in comparison with other previews, is you have like four different shots set up for something. So that really gives that immersive experience that somebody is there. I think, you know, there's like two sides to the coin. There's where people like the feel of like, oh, it's like you're sending it to me on your phone, you know? But I like
people
also
like that a lot.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm just sending you a dirty text. Cause I think, you know, that's that's something any guy likes.
Absolutely. Or girl, it's,
you know,
it's very much of a personal experience. I try to make it cinematic, but realistic in a sense. It's very time consuming and I don't have the energy for it all the time. Like with the hour long videos, it is an all day thing.
Yeah, and that's a it's long
I'm going to get this angle and then I don't pause it. Sometimes I pause it and if I mess up, I'll pause it and then switch to a different angle. So it's not so much of a hard cut and it doesn't look like you messed up and it's more purposeful, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and where do you draw your inspiration from?
Oh, you know, Sydney Harwin is someone that I really looked up to for a long time. When I first joined, I'm like, oh my gosh, her content is amazing. She does such a great immersive POV experience. So her for sure. And then legends like Penny Barber, she does amazing solo work as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of just, I pull from my own personal stylistic preferences, I guess, if that makes sense. That sounds very, I don't know how to describe it. I've done photography for a long time and
you're an artiste.
Dark-ish style, not super dark, but dramatic, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would call it. When I see your videos, it's like, you know, the drama filter, right? It's not like, the Mexico filter where everything's yellow, right? Oh, we're down south. Yeah, like sepia. Now. Right. Like mm-hmm. you totally have the drama in there, which makes it feel like all your taboo stuff, having that kind of drama tint just to the film itself lends itself to that. Oh, this is like taboo, not meant to be happening. It raises the drama. Absolutely.
It does. I recently started filming an S-log. So it's a setting on your camera and it compresses everything. So you really have to make sure everything's really well lit. Otherwise, it kind of becomes dark and grainy. So I'm playing with that. So a lot of my things are a little darker right now because I'm still working on how to properly expose for S-log. But by filming that way, it kind of brings out the dynamic contrasts, like the darkest darks and the lightest lights, and brings more detail to that. And so I feel like that has helped a lot with that dramatic tone.
Getting that emphasis on your shadows and things like that.
Yes.
It's something I think later on when people have, you know, you have your content library and you're like, oh, well, what now? Well, now is the time to start really digging in and playing with your style so that if someone turns on a video, like it's instantly recognizable, like, whoa, this is Miss Mallory Swish's video. I can tell just from the way it's shot, you know, that I think is the ultimate compliment too, as somebody who produces any kind of art, anything that you're presenting to the world, for people to instantly recognize it as yours, I think should be the ultimate goal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that because as an artist, it is scary. It's very scary. And especially in the content creation world, because we're all kind of doing the same thing. There's multiple prompts happening, like cheating, cuckolding, taboo, all of the different categories that people play with. You have to find a way to kind of make it your own.
Right. And stand out. And I think that becomes a big question. It's kind of a weird place to draw inspiration from, but I watch a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race. And
I love it.
Yeah. But like, so they're all drag queens, right? They're all in the same genre, but they all have very unique, you know, styles and presentations to them. And it's interesting to see them kind of develop that. And that's something that we can learn from as creators is, sure, we're all creators, but it's developing that sense of self. And something that RuPaul just said in the last episode was showing vulnerability
is
really, really important. And that's where people are allowed to connect with you, is on that level. And I think, you know, by making yourself more human in your work, you show that side. You let people connect with you. And I think you have a very strong fan base for those reasons.
Thank you. Vulnerability is something that I'm a big advocate for, because not only in the creative world, but just in everyday life, like it's so powerful. I'm getting all Brene Brown here, but Vulnerability is a great tool. And especially in your work, if you just go in and are raw and vulnerable, and most of my role plays are very much improvised, I will sit down and like kind of figure out what the situation is. But by putting yourself in that situation, kind of like actors and actresses do, like you sit right there and you're like, oh, I have to actually be in this situation, which is hard, especially with the taboo stuff. Like you have to have the mental barrier, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, but I mean, sex work isn't for everybody. You know, yeah. Sometimes you hear about people talking about how, you know, this industry is rife with or attracts even people with trauma or issues. But I mean, people have trauma in every industry. It's just that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you're able to take care of yourself first if you're putting yourself out there in that way as well. Like,
absolutely. If you do taboo content, I mean, I know people who have trauma and it's hard for them to do things like that, even though it does sell well. It's this point where you have to be like, okay, well, if I can't do it, I need to go to therapy. And I'm a big advocate for therapy. I've done EMDR, I've done neurofeedback therapy, talk therapy. So definitely working with your own flaws and figuring out how to be mentally stable and happy is probably the number one thing, especially for working for yourself, because you gotta be strong.
Your own, you're your product. So you need to take care of, that. And if playing into a certain role or something like that is damaging to you mentally, you know, let's not go there. Don't allow your fan base to push you into a corner or something like that.
Absolutely. And there's so many options too. There's just so many categories in the sex work world, which anytime someone's like, oh, I have a weird kink, I don't know, I'm like, nothing will shock me.
Right. There's, I've heard the weirdest things. What's, if you want to share, what's one of the weirdest things you've heard?
Oh, well, besides the terrible things that I'm like, I'm going to block you.
Yeah, not the icky ones, obviously.
Yeah, no. Belly button is really strange. I haven't had a lot of them, but I mean, there are people who like belly button stuff. And I'm like, I guess the appeal is understanding. Also, if you could hear my cat, I'm sorry. She's very mad that she's not
with me right included. Now. Yeah, mine's probably going to get upset in a little bit as well. So I've heard people talk about the belly button one and they call it the fourth hole. Have you heard that?
I feel like I have heard that.
It's like a marketing tactic. So like you'll put like the fourth hole and people are like, what's the fourth hole?
What's the fourth hole? Ooh. And then you're like,
the fourth belly button. Right. Surprise. You
know, that and splooshing. Like, I've done a slime video.
Splooshing?
I guess it's splooshing. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it's wet and messy, the wet and messy category.
Okay. I haven't heard splooshing. So
I've poured slime on myself. It's like, it's very messy. I've pied myself in the face in that same video. It was a very interesting custom.
Yeah.
I had slime in my hair for a good week and a half.
Oh my gosh. And then, you know, I guess there's all the ones that go, you know, cake sitting and all that good stuff, or squishing it with your feet.
Exactly. Last year I got a custom for Easter and I kept it private. I tried posting it, but it was also a little blasphemous. So I was dressed as like a 1950s housewife and I was ripping up a Bible and stomping on Easter candy. And I didn't really understand it, but you know, people will request very fun things. It makes their job interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely coming from an ex-Catholic, for sure.
100%. They have some religious trauma. Right. And it's okay.
Somebody went to Catholic school. That's what that says to me. Well, let's talk about kind of the nuts and bolts of the content creation. You know, last time you were on the show, you were saying your hard drives feel a little bit chaotic. How's that going? Is it still chaos? And I'll preface, I have chaos myself.
I think it's hard with so many clips and pictures and everything to not have chaos. Every now and then I go in and I'll transfer old, just full video files over to a different hard drive just to have backup, just in case.
Yeah.
But also that's why I post most of my things everywhere, because then that's backup in itself. If you can re-download it from the site most of the time. But my setup is still relatively the same since I talked to Violet. So I'm still kind of chaotic, but it doesn't feel chaotic, I guess. I film on my camera that you're working.
Yeah.
Exactly. I film on my camera, I take my SD card, I put it into my computer, I transfer all the files over, and then I'm editing. And so
Well, and I think with what you do as well, utilizing so many clip sites, because when you're using clip sites, like, okay, I want a 5-second clip for many vids, I want a this second clip, and some of them have to be censored, and some of them have, so you end up creating, you know, 6 different mini clips, just the previews, right? And then you have to label all of them. So I have, like, you know, I totally get it. I have right in the title, like, 5-second uncensored preview. 5-second censored preview. And then here's the one that's 1 minute long that goes to my fans with Rebill on. And here's the one that's censored that goes to the ones that don't have Rebill on. And
yeah, so, pretty much it's taboo role play clean or step or something like that. Because posting it to different sites, I'll crop it out and I'll kind of play with that. Because on mini vids, people really like the full taboo. They want it to be real.
And even when they want to check and make sure before they buy.
Yeah, I guess. And so I'll pause and be like, well, I am just your stepsister. And then I'll cut that out and then kind of put that in for the other clips. Because sometimes, especially on Pornhub now, it has to be step.
You got to play by the rules.
Exactly. I mean, even if you have it in the title and you don't say anything in the video, you have to say it's step, I believe.
Do you also have to put any disclaimers, like, you know, things at the start of the video, or would that cover it?
I don't know if that would cover it. I think just the way how strict MasterCard and Visa is nowadays, I just had a ton of videos taken down from my Pornhub. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of you playing with what sites are okay with that and what sites are not, and being very cautious about it, because I think if you have too many red flags, then they could delete your account.
Of course. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because you become a risk rather than an asset. Yeah. It sucks. It's like all this stuff. It's like, I understand why Pornhub is that way. It really comes down to the payment processors, the credit card companies. Like, they're just like, I have to do this. Doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
It does suck, but it's understandable.
Yeah. So. How's it going? Have you been adhering to the new Pornhub regulations, by the way, for the tiers and all that?
I haven't looked into the tiers and the details of that. I know you have to post 7-minute videos now.
Yes.
I just recently posted 2 over 10-minute videos. So I just think I'm going to start filming kind of knockoff, like, not as high effort.
Yeah, I had the same idea.
So I don't know. I'm very new to Pornhub. And so I'm wanting to upload older content that sells well, maybe. Then again, I have to find the ones that I like and I want people to actually see. I don't want to post old ones that are just cringy, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I think the tier system is very frustrating.
I thought likewise. I was like, oh, well, this kind of changes things, because now my strategy of just having my 1-minute previews go up there, I can't do that anymore. And I was thinking along the same lines. Yeah. I was like, I could do something like, you know, yoga in my underwear or naked, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And you can still post those 1-minute teasers and stuff, I believe.
Yes, like, of course.
Every couple videos, like, post the teasers and then every now and then post a 10-minute video.
Yeah, just enough 7 minutes to stay homepage relevant.
Just the bare minimum to kiss their ass. It's fine.
Okay, new rule. I'll play by the rules. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, as far as other sites go, obviously now to get traffic on Pornhub, we're going to have to adhere to this new regulation. But when it goes to posting schedules for staying relevant or getting traffic on other sites, kind of what are your recommendations from experience for the different, like ManyVids, I think, what, every day?
No, I would say that's more I want clips. Posting every day is probably the best bet when you first start because the search system is strange. You can find models if they're top models or if you search them up, but the main page is the top models and then the recently uploaded. Uh-huh. And so if you are on that recently uploaded page, when I first made my I Want Clips, it popped off because I went and I uploaded 20 to 30 vids just to fill my page.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then I accidentally took up the entire like recently uploaded page.
And wow.
Well, I'm now on I Want Clips. Hello. But now it's very slow because I barely post. But I would say on ManyVids every like once a week or twice a week is decent. I wouldn't say any more than twice a week makes I can't say it makes a huge difference because I'm not an active poster. I'm not a one every day kind of person. I have about as much energy to film enough to have one or two videos a week. Especially now with the kind of content I'm making, it's just, it's a lot of editing.
It is. It is. This is something I've explained to my boyfriend where I'm like, It's kind of almost easier for me to make content with you than to make it solo. Like solo is harder work, honestly, because I have to put a lot more into camera angles, editing it all together.
Absolutely.
And if it's I can stick it up on a tripod and I'm good to go.
It is a lot harder doing it by yourself, especially when you're trying to get the right angles and I'll have my dildo on like a fucking machine. I'm trying to make it so where like it looks like POV, but then also you can't see the fucking machine and like it's
right. No, what I've had struggles. Okay. I want to know the details on best camera angles. And then I want to dive into the machine because the machine is a personal struggle of mine.
I would say best camera angles. I kind of treat the camera as if, like it's a pair of eyes, you know? So like I have a tripod that's about as tall as me. And so if I am doing a standing up scene, like the camera's there and I'm talking to the camera, I'm like staring into the camera. Eye contact is very popular. It's very hard with phones because you're looking at yourself, but then like I'm looking at myself, like I'm not looking at the camera, but then if I'm looking at the camera, I'm looking at the camera kind of thing. Yeah. So, but if it's more dominant, kind of like a higher up angle, if you're being more like dominant yourself and not more submissive, like a lower angle, so you're more dominating the viewer. If I'm doing the straight on scenes and I mess up, I'll do a cut and then kind of angle it down and keep the scene going. So it's like, it's almost like he looks down at your body and not just like a straight cut. So any cut I do, I try to make it purposeful.
Yeah.
In a sense. So it's not just like a fade in, like a cross dissolve. Oh, she messed up.
Oh, you're calling me out right now. That obviously looks
like a cut. So no, I did that all the time. Like for the longest time I did that.
And,
but now I'm kind of playing with that.
It's funny if I think about it. Yeah. The crossfade versus like, if I'm doing, what's it? Like if I'm doing more of a role play video, if I think back about it, I will do a different style of transition. Like I remember like a wrestling one and I like grab the camera and I'm like, all right, you're coming with me. You know?
I love it.
Yeah. That's
there's
funny.
So many different kinds of transitions too, because it could just be just a straight crop transition because they do that in movies sometimes. That's something that I've noticed a lot more since getting more cinematic with it. I'll be watching movies and see how they transition. And
I love that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's sound transitions where it's like, it could be like a noise that goes into the next scene.
I like those transitions. Yeah.
Me too. It's very creative. I've been just on
YouTube. Like it cuts and it's like the glass gets put down on the table and the scene starts, you know, like something like
exactly.
That. That's great. That's a kind of good advice for people like, I want to make a make my brand stand out, who's your favorite director? Maybe go watch some videos, maybe not Tarantino. You'll end up with some crazy product. But yeah, like, watch your favorite directors. Yeah, a lot of feet. Actually, maybe yes. Maybe do watch Tarantino.
Maybe, yeah. But like, I think Pure Taboo is very influential for me. I'll watch a lot of Adult Time Pure Taboo stuff just to kind of see how they direct everything.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if Seth Gamble, I haven't watched a lot of his actual direct, like, I need to go and actually research these big time porn directors and watch their stuff, not just like for watching porn, you know?
Yeah.
Actually do research, because I do like the style and the darkness of it and the realism.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I want to keep going about that. And then eventually, maybe, I don't know. It has always been a dream of mine to work for Pure Taboo. I'm like, that would be so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can do it.
Thank you. Maybe when I'm more acclaimed and have worked more with other people, because I'm now starting to do more collabs and full hardcore collabs, but I'm very new to it. So I'm.
Well, I can't tell you, like, I'm sure you've heard the stories, but I've heard the stories plenty of times of people who are now producers or big time creators. And they're like, yeah, I remember back in the day looking up to this person and now I work alongside them. So
yeah,
I can totally that's definitely see that a goal. Being. Absolutely. So when you're planning these out, you're saying like you write your script, are you writing like the full script with the whole finish? What's that process? Is my camera not focusing on me now?
It's okay. It happens.
Focus.
So my process is very, I would say in line with just shot lists. So I'll go and do like scene one, like these are the shots I want. Let me actually, cause I can pull this up right now.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not. Never mind. It's not pulling up. But
well, so it's not it's not like what you think of like a typical like a play script, right?
Exactly. So I'll do scene one, like daughter comes home first day of college, she has best time, blah blah blah. Like scene two, daughter comes in dressed up, ready to go. Scene three, like daddy's waiting for her to get home, blah, blah, blah. Like little things like that. So I know like where I'm at. So it's like scene one, kitchen, making dinner, blah, 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 confrontation scene. So I'll kind of lay it out by scenes and then kind of write down like, I want to get this shot. And then a lot of the times the angles more so are improvised from what I know, like how would, like if I'm putting stuff up in my pantry and someone's behind me, like checking me out and like the scene starts with, would it start like looking at my ass and then like cuts up to me and I turn around and I'm like, oh, hi. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. You're really having to play all the roles. You're having to be the writer. You're having to be the director and you're also the actor in the scene.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're kind of writing it out and then you're like, okay, I'm going to act and I'm going to direct and I'm going to go, you know, as a director, this is how I want this shot to look. Okay. Now I have to go act in this shot.
Exactly. And it's helpful. I have an app on my phone that connects to my camera. So I'll set my camera up and then I'll have whatever the camera's seeing like on my phone so I can set it where I can kind of see it. So because my mic blocks, I have the little flip up preview thing, but my mic blocks it because I have a shotgun mic.
It's pretty small anyway, the preview. Like, so if you're shooting something and you're not close,
I have to have this at least to make sure I'm in frame. At the beginning, I was very cautious about how I looked and what, I mean, in a sense, I still am, but not so much like every single detail. Cause when I used to film on my phone, I would be looking at myself and like, making sure every little move is right. But then once you get so used to that, like you just have to make sure you're in frame. You know what's you get used to your body. Like I was not used to my body when I started. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, it looks good. Everything I would write things on a whiteboard to have it like behind the screen. I did not know what I was doing.
I feel that in a big way of like, yeah, I have to inspect every single frame of this as I'm making it to being able to just kind of let go and be like, okay, camera's on me. I know what I'm going to look good in. Not to mention like people do want to see you. So like, it's okay. It's okay to be you. Yeah, just let it happen naturally. That is give the people what they want. They want to see you, not robotic trying to be not vulnerable you, right? Let the vulnerability out.
Even if the vulnerability is like awkward and like you're not sure what to do, like people like the awkward. They love seeing your real personality.
That's such a real part of sex too, is like the little bit of awkwardness to it, or like, you know, something happens and you both are laughing. Like that is totally part of what real sex is like. So that lets you bring that to that video. Instead of
exactly.
And I think that's what separates the smaller creators from like a big studio. You know, you go to big studio for big campy production.
Exactly.
And there's absolutely something to that. But
and some people like it. Some people want to know that it's role play and then it looks very produced. If that makes sense. I mean,
it's I don't know how to word that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's porn's porn. It's not like realism, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's not like, oh, pizza guy is here. Like, oh, I guess we're going to fuck.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. The things that everybody knows is like, yeah, all right. Okay. But yeah. And then what we offer as these smaller creators is that connection, is that touch, is that this is real. This is me. This is not acting, even though it is still acting.
Where I'm supposed to be now.
It's kind of funny. It's like porn is drag makeup, like studio porn is drag makeup, and independent content creators are no makeup makeup. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
I get that. No, like, I absolutely get
like
that.
Like people are like, no, I prefer a natural girl. And she's like, oh, actually, I'm wearing makeup right now. You know?
Yeah, no, like, no, you can't see like all of my acne, but it looks like normal skin.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't have the full bronzer, highlighter, like big eyes, fake eyelashes. Like,
right. There's
which
still
is,
makeup.
It's very fun to be very dressed up
that
like that.
That is fun. And I do appreciate the art of it very much so. Like I do enjoy the campy stuff as well. But, you know, that's not our audience.
No.
I mean, sometimes Brazzers is listening.
Well, someone that comes to mind, Little Puck, their content, it kind of transformed from being solo content creator and now they're doing more studio based productions, but so campy, fun, gonzo style. I just love their work so much. So another big inspiration for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a takeaway I think everybody can learn from, is like to learn from your peers, like, you know, buy content, like one, support mm-hmm. your fellow peers, but also that lets you get more inspiration. And honestly, you're not going to get an understanding of what's out there without actually consuming that content and seeing it. You can't just, you know, look at the 5-second preview and understand. Like, I do think there is something to actually like studying
absolutely.
What's out there.
And I bring them up in a sense that it's like, people do like that very campy stuff. If you want to make that stuff as an independent content creator, there is a fan base for it, I guess. And so there's just so many ways you can play with how you create content. And it doesn't have to be the studio, big, campy stuff, but it can be if you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be very simple, very intimate, very one-on-one. You don't even have to do penetration. I just did a video in a hotel room and I pretended to be fucked and it's just popping off. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm just not going to work as hard anymore.
It's like, I wish I knew this 4 years ago. Damn.
You know, it's funny because even the stuff 4 years ago, I talked about this with Violet on the last podcast, that stuff still sells,
yeah,
which is wild to me. Because it's so bad. But I keep it up because...
And how did you find passive. It?
Exactly.
Like, you were really looking there, you know? You went deep. I feel the same way. I see somebody that, like, bought something in a PPV message from months ago. That's, I'm like, yeah. Wow. That was just
you were really
there.
Scrolling in our conversation.
So, you know
that's
what?
Funny.
Couldn't stop thinking about this. Well, it just goes to show, you know, put it out there. Put your stuff out there.
Passive income is income. Like, if you aren't working, you're working.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I could have such a lazy day and then look at my emails and be like, oh, I just had a video from 3 years ago sell. Cool.
And there's really only one way. Yeah, there's only one way to guarantee that your video won't sell. And it's if you don't post it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on multiple sites too. For the longest time I was on Minivids, and now I'm like pulling up all the sites and pulling up clips for sale. I want clips just for fans, Fansly, uploading. Cause
yeah, that's my project.
Even if you're just making like 60, 50, 60 bucks per site, like that adds up.
It does add up. It does add up. Yeah, that's the project I'm having for my 2024 project is like by the end of the second quarter to have my flow to other clip stores be set in place to where, because I'm great at getting it on OnlyFans and now I'm good at getting it in my cloud organized. So now the third step is distributing and actually posting it. Maybe I should follow my own advice. So
it's hard. It's
always you're the last person to follow your own advice.
Yes.
So as a creator, you know, what's your day typically look like or what kind of schedule is it all? Dare I ask?
I'm laughing because I've been making fun of myself the last couple days for being relatively lazy and procrastinating far more than I should be. But I don't know. Let's blame the eclipse. I don't know.
It's new moon time.
I would say on a normal day, my sleep schedule is very much all over the place. So sometimes I'll go to bed at 11 and wake up at 10 a.m. and it feels, you know, I don't know. But last night I went to bed at 3 a.m. and woke up at 1 p.m.
Oh my.
So, but my daily schedule, I wake up, I drink some coffee and I kind of scroll through DMs. I scroll through Twitter. And I'm very ADHD, so I will sit and kind of do things around my house until I'm like, oh, I need to do some work. And then I'll sit and make myself get hyper-focused on doing my makeup. And at least if I start doing my makeup, I will do work. But if I don't do my makeup, that is the hardest step. I have to sit down and just force myself to do it. I figure out what I need to do, what store orders I need to deliver, what custom videos I'm back on. I need to do one this week and another. I'm just catching up right now. So
that's a golden nugget you just dropped right there, though, about getting the makeup on, right? So when it comes to getting anything done, and like this applies to habits as well, bad habits, good habits, you have to identify like what is your either what's your hang up or what's your trigger, right? So like if there's something that, you know, every time XYZ happens, I have an unproductive day after that. Okay, well, we need to identify that trigger to eliminate it. Or like what you've done is you identified it and eliminated that sticking point where you're like, my hang up is if I don't get my makeup on, nothing happens. Like that is where I get stuck. So if you can identify what's getting you stuck in your cycle, you can overcome that. And I think that's really important for the ADHD girlies and guys and thems is that, you know, a lot of us in this industry are here in this industry because we don't fit desk jobs, because we don't fit that mentality, because we have, you know, the tendency to work on many projects at once and jump from one to the other. So you've done a great job at figuring out, okay, this is what I have to do. If I want to trigger a filming day, I have to put on my makeup. That's the rule.
It is helpful for neurodivergent people. I've noticed there's a lot of neurodivergent people in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I would get so overwhelmed. My anxiety used to be so bad. And working a 9-to-5 is just draining. And then you don't have any energy after. So really fostering what brings you energy, what, like you said, the hangups. I know I will sit in dread, and if I don't start it, then it's not going to get done. So makeup really is the hardest part of getting started.
Yeah.
Sitting down and doing the thing. And once you do the thing, you're already motivated. And that kind of gets you in the hyperfixation mode of, okay, I'm in work mode now.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing when to stop is really important too.
Yes. Holy crap. Yes.
Yeah. Because I used to have really bad panic attacks trying to finish these long form projects because I'm just getting so frustrated. And I'm like, well, I want to finish it now.
Yeah.
I'm getting frustrated. The angles aren't working. The fucking machine's falling over. Everything's fucking up, blah, blah, blah. Trying not to cry to ruin your makeup kind of thing. But if you're in that mode, just stop.
Yeah.
Just
ideally, you should have stopped take 5 minutes. It got there, you know?
Exactly. And it's hard with self-employed people because we're trying to get as much work done as possible and feel productive, because a lot of the times we'll have days where we don't feel productive. And I'm like, dang, I didn't do anything today. But that's
think about
the
your
job.
Average person working at a desk job. You know, what do they say? They're only productive for like 4 hours of their 8 hour workday, if that.
Exactly. We're not meant to be machines.
We
We're
hold
meant
ourselves to a standard
eat,
up here.
Fuck, have fun. And work a little bit, and now we have to make money because of capitalism. It's
And I think with the ADHD, like, there comes, or any kind of, you know, neurodivergent, or this is just your style, we don't have to diagnose, but that, we might sometimes, you know, energy isn't a constant. Like, there are times, especially for women, and we're dealing with hormone cycles that take 28 days. So let's think about, like, okay, maybe I don't need to be on the same productivity level 365 days a year. Like, absolutely. let's prepare for phases of, okay, right now I am super in the mood to shoot. So shoot that content when you have the energy, and then you're going to have downtime. Guess what? Perfect time to edit. You don't want to be in front of the camera.
Edit. Perfect time to make unhinged tweets.
Start queuing up your stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So, that's something I'm so bad about with the new subscription sites, because I'm now trying to be more active on Fansly and Just for Fans, and I've just I'm good at the clip sites and scheduling out the clips, but scheduling out the pictures and the posts,
yeah,
not my thing.
And like keeping it all straight as far as like what do I have queued up and for how long. Okay, do I have posts? Do I have messages? Do I have PPV? Do I have all of these different
I can imagine writing it down.
Scheduling those things are your friends. But having a plan for like, okay, if I'm having a day where I don't want to be in front of the camera, what can I accomplish on those days? That is, you know, I don't have to always force myself to shoot new content. Maybe I'm going back through and making previews.
Exactly. And you don't have to force yourself to work at all, even. I mean,
it's true.
I'm a bad influence, because anytime someone's like, I don't want to work today, I'm like, just don't.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, self-care days are so important, and it's very draining what we do, and we really do put our whole selves out there. And so on the days that we're like, oh, I'm so lazy, like I haven't done anything today, it's like, just breathe and give yourself some grace and know that you're doing a good job.
Right. You're going to be okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Make sure you're taking care of yourself first. Always. That is honestly, you cannot pour from an empty cup. I always say that. You got to keep that cup full. Totally.
I love how we've really jumped on a mental health train
on
this podcast.
I can't help
it's
it.
Really great. No, I love it. I'm a big mental health advocate. So,
yeah, I mean, personally, I've had to go through a lot of therapy. I definitely had issues dealing with big emotions, anger, especially would just like. It would take me by storm. And I did a lot of DBT therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And I still work with it. That was all like 2019, 2020, 2021. I was really doing a lot of DBT therapy with a therapist. And then since then, even, it's still been a work in progress. Like, it does not happen overnight. It doesn't even happen absolutely in a year.
No, it's practice too. And even with EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing, you can identify those trauma triggers and know how it has affected you, but it's not going to heal the trauma. It's always something that you have to go back and work on. And yeah. I've had my fair share of anger management experiences and going back and working on those confrontation scripts. And okay, what can I say to express my emotions in the best way possible?
Right. I'm trying to do my best here.
It's very hard.
As we are all, you know.
Yes. We're all just going through this life, and life is crazy and chaotic. And yeah, so.
Yeah.
And grateful for this job that we're doing to kind of, it gives us that ability to be flexible and give us time for the self-care and self-help.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. The flexibility, I think, is a big plus for me personally. Definitely. Well, let's take it back on the business side. Good mental health. Good mental health. A little journey there. Because I think we started talking with how does your day look like? What's your schedule like? Yeah.
It's all over the place. It really ebbs and flows. So
as far as that goes, though, so you're also, you know, active on socials. You're on Twitter. And what I really noticed about your socials was you have a very dedicated fan base. So you're really into like casting the deep lines rather than the wide nets is kind of my takeaway.
Okay, I get that.
Does that ring at all? Like, it seems like to me,
yeah, explain.
Like the people I see on your Twitter and stuff are very involved. Like, you get a lot of fan interaction. Same thing on your many vids. You get a lot of fan interaction. As opposed to, like, I see some people that they're, you know, very popular in the sense that, you know, they've got 600,000 followers, but I don't see the same fan interaction on their pages in the way that I see on yours, where people, you seem to know them and they seem to know you.
I have not issues with boundaries, but I also am just a very like open person. So if someone's talking to me, and the people who are very active on Twitter with my post, I've talked to for a while. I think I've had some people who've ordered customs, other people who pop in on live whenever I go live, which I never do, but kind of fostering those relationships with the fans that respect me,
right,
and buy my content a lot is really important to me. So if they buy customs, I'll have little conversations with them, not often, but I don't mind having small talk.
Yeah,
I think
I think what I notice is like the reciprocal nature that I see. Like, a lot of times what you see is very one-sided, almost like the creator doesn't notice that everybody is there commenting on their stuff, right? And they're never commenting back.
That's totally fine. I think I am just like always
nothing wrong.
I'm
right?
always on my phone and I'm just unhinged. So yeah. I will respond to anyone, because not only am I kind of a hermit crab in my own personal life, so when people are talking to me online, I'm like, yeah, I'll talk to you.
Right. I can do that too as well. And people are like, wow, it's amazing. Do you talk to everybody this way? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Kinda. No, I get it.
No, you're so special. But yeah, not to say there's anything wrong, right, with casting a giant net and having your focus being like as popular on social media as possible, and then just, you know, going for the volume approach rather
than. It's a different style for sure. I mean,
very different, but I think both are equally lucrative. I mean, obviously you've been doing this as your work for 4 years, right? So,
yeah,
you know, there are people that fail doing both routes. It's a matter of like, what is coming naturally to you? What speaks to you? And I think it proves the point that you like, it's not about being the most popular person on the planet to make this a job, like a feasible income for yourself. It's truly not.
I think I have less than 6K followers on Twitter, and I'm still doing well, and it's a full-time job. And I mean, there's that inner want, I think we all have. Well, not all of us, but it's like, I want to be internet famous.
It would be so easy.
I want to be in the spotlight. No, I could not. I get so anxious. Like, when more than 100 people are like on a stream, if I'm streaming, I'm like, hi.
We have to cap today's session. We only have room for 60 people today.
Yeah, no, I'm just way too unhinged with my Twitters, so.
But I had an experience with going live recently, and I only had, I think it was 24 people in there. But I made close to $1,000 in 2 hours.
Yeah. If you have your fan base and they're spending money, it does not matter how many people are
right. No,
in your corner.
you could have 1,000 people. I mean, that used to happen to me on Chatterbait, you know, having hundreds of people in there.
One's spending any money. No, yeah. Because it's just all freeloaders.
5 cent tokens. Thank you for the nickel.
One token, like, come win, baby. Right. Baby, come. One. I ain't coming.
For a nickel? Yeah. For a nickel, you've got to be kidding me.
No.
So, I mean, are there any kind of hard lessons you've learned along the way that maybe you want to share for others to learn from?
I mean, it's really easy to take every order that comes your way, and it's different for people who rely on these orders and who need to fulfill every order. Yeah. But if it does not make you comfortable, and if you feel uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form, if you have the ability to cancel the order and just don't do it, or just don't take on orders that make you uncomfortable, do what you find sexy, as well as, like, I guess what sells, but don't take, I hate saying don't take what sells so seriously, because it is very important to market to what sells. But if what sells is not making you feel good at all, don't do it.
Yeah. It's not worth coming at the expense of your self-confidence, your self-worth, your peace, your inner peace, and what you're putting out there. You're putting out there on video.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is definitely a thought that, you know, early on, especially, I think if you're a beginner, like, hopefully this can reach the ears of some beginners. Like, you will get those temptations and be like, well, won't I? And I'm like, you know what? I think probably you don't want yourself on video saying the N-word with a hard R. Probably.
Oh, God. Oh my God. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm sure you get them too. Like,
oh, I got no, I've only gotten ever one message about that. I'm like, report, block, like, what is your no, there are just some fucked up people out there, and it's very easy to kind of like step back on like your morals for some things, but that's my best advice to give people, because you get these customs and you're like, oh, this isn't bad, I see other people doing it. But it's like,
well, he's asking for it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's, you're putting it on video. So
exactly. It's out there, and it represents you. It represents your brand.
Right.
Because you are a brand. As much as we are people, we are brands, which is fun.
Something I have to think about now all the time. I'm like, shoot, I'm definitely representing right now. So like, wherever I'm putting myself in a public forum, something.
Luckily, I guess I've kind of, I always had that in my brain growing up, because I went to a private school and we wore uniforms, and they were like,
so you're
represent the school. And I'm like, well, now I'm really representing the alumni.
I love that. It's actually funny. I've run into people where we are actually, fellow alumni of the same university, and I'm like, this is,
as am I,
this is unreal.
It's actually very funny. Like, it's great.
You like that degree too, huh? Let's go. That's going awesome.
I know, right? It's kind of funny because I have a bachelor's in fine arts and I'm like, I'm doing art.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like I used my degree, just probably not in a way that anyone ever anticipated.
Exactly. I mean, I learned how to do Adobe Premiere in college, so I am there using my degree.
Yeah, technically. So do you have anything coming up in the next few months? Are you going to Chicago?
You know, I wanted to go. I really need to catch up on things. I am doing a volunteering thing on Saturday, so I really can't go. I do have a couple friends who are going, who are coming down to visit me, and might be doing some stuff because we both got tested for a collab earlier last week that we just posted. It was just like a live show thing, but we want to do more like POV stuff, like role play. And I'm like, so I just did a poll on Twitter. I'm like, what do you want to see from collabs? And everyone says POV, sex role play. I'm like, okay.
Heard. So no Chicago, but Miami and any other exciting projects or things we can look forward to?
Big projects in Miami with Kelly Payne, Harley Sin, Tigger Rosie, and then another surprise collab. I'm trying to schedule more collaborative projects. I really want to go on a road trip this summer, kind of meet people, see people, explore. So we'll see. I don't know.
So
kind of playing it by ear.
To come. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you down there in Miami. And if you're a creator and you decide to come to Expos Miami, it's free for creators, by the way. You just got to get your plane ticket and a place to stay.
It's very fun. Come and hang with us.
But yeah, come say hi to us. And yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited.
Thank you.
I cannot wait. It's like a month away, a little bit more than a month away. So
I know I'm hyped. So
I'm super hyped. But I'm ready.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Of course. You are such an inspiration, especially when it comes to, you know, mastering the art of being a solo creator. I think that is something that is a big challenge. It seems easy on the outside, and then you get on the inside and you're like, wait a sec. So you're a great example, you know, dare I say, you know, for other creators to look to your stuff as inspiration, just as we're saying, to draw inspiration around you. Your content is a great example. If you look at her many vids, great examples of how to create those preview clips, how to create enticing taglines and dig into your niche and all of that good stuff. So yeah, thank you, Mallory.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
And with that, we will see you in Miami, everybody. So come on down.
Awesome. I'm so excited.